Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody, to the Take the Kingdom Bible School. My name is Stephen Martinez, and here we study God's Word to help you fulfill God's plan for your life. We just want to tell you thank you and welcome to the second course of our Bible School. It's called Knowing God. Today's lesson is lesson number one, and the title of the lesson is Perfection. And the theme is God has destined us to be like Jesus. Now, what is destiny? This word might sound very New Agey, like, ooh, I have a destiny. But it's actually very biblical. The simple definition of destiny implies something foreordained and often suggests a great or noble course or end, a goal, and it has been decided from before. For example, if you've read in your textbooks or when you studied history, U.S. history, this thing called manifest destiny. Basically what it is, it was this idea, this philosophy in the United States at a certain time that we believed it was our destiny from God. It was His plan from before the U.S. even existed. It was His plan for the U.S. to, you know, take control of all the land from the Pacific to the Atlantic, of California to New York. And so following that philosophy, that idea that it was our manifest destiny to do that, we went on and bought and purchased and conquered everything all the way to California. And now the U.S. is what it is. And God wants to tell us that there is a purpose for our lives that He has destined or made from before. That is your destiny. That is my destiny. When you fulfill your destiny, you actually start living for what God created you for. You have this incredible sense of satisfaction. You feel like, now I'm living. This is what it's about. Why? Because you were built for this. And it's built into you. Your life purpose is like put into you. It's like an engine that runs on premium gasoline. When you actually put premium gasoline in it, that's when it runs the way it's supposed to. It feels the way it's supposed to. The engine runs right. If you put less or cheap gasoline or adulterated gasoline, it starts to mess up. It doesn't run as well. It has problems. That's what our life is like when we're not fulfilling our destiny. And when we do fulfill our destiny, we feel it and we know it. It's amazing. People with destiny that know their destiny or have a sense of destiny, like I was born for this, they're kind of strange. A lot of times they're misunderstood. They're kind of different than everybody else because they feel and they know that they were born for something and they're dedicated. They're focused on that destiny and fulfilling it. Everybody else is kind of just living their life, enjoying what they can and just cruising. And this person is like driven, so different than the rest of us. But God wants you to know that you have a destiny. And He wants you to be driven by that understanding as well and to fulfill that destiny. An example is the Olympians, the people now, I think the Olympics are going on still. A lot of them, they feel destined, you know, to win gold, to win a medal for their country or to be great at something. And that's why they're so driven. Take this Olympian called Michael Phelps. He is officially the one person Olympian that has the most medals in history. If you listen to his story or you read his biography, you realize that he has a sense of destiny. Or there's a sense of destiny around him. For example, just the way he was as a child, he was very tall. He had the perfect swimmer's body. He had this incredible drive inside of him, this competitiveness. He started getting into swimming at a young age, and he started competing at the school, and then he started competing at this training facility, and this coach saw him. And the coach watched him for a little bit, and he wasn't a great swimmer, but the coach saw that this kid had destiny because of the way he was built, because of his mentality. This coach realized this kid has the destiny. He's like born with his purpose. And that's what they felt, right? To be the best at swimming. This is what people with destiny are like. And I want to show you that this idea of destiny is not something I just made up or it's not some New Age woo-woo thing. It's in the Bible. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God is speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. And He might be speaking to you right now. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Isn't that amazing? God is saying, before you were born. Matter of fact, before you even formed in the belly, like back when you were a little speck, I already had this destiny for you, which was for you to be a prophet. He says he ordained him as a prophet and has sanctified him, set him apart for that purpose, to be a prophet to the nations. And God has done the same thing with you and me. He has ordained you and me for a purpose that he alone knows, but which he wants to reveal to you. And when you actually understand and learn what it is and start to follow it, everything is going to start to click. Your life is going to become awesome the way God intended it to be. You're going to start to live for what you were born and created for with that specific plan. And everybody's plan is different in many ways. Yet, there's a part of our destiny which is the same. And this is what we're going to talk about today. What is the destiny for you and me that is the same for all of us? Look what it says here in Romans 8:29. Here it tells us what is God's destiny for you and me, all of us. For whom he, God, did foreknow, meaning he knew ahead of time, foreknow, he knew before. Those people that he knew before, which would be saved and would accept him, he also did predestinate them to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, that Jesus, his son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here it tells you your destiny. Notice it uses the phrase predestinate. Pre meaning before and destinate meaning destiny. So before anything happened, before you were born, he made a destiny for you because he knew you would be saved. He knew you would accept Jesus, his son. He knew you would believe him. So because of that, he said, I'm going to make a destiny for this person, a glorious destiny, the highest destiny possible in any imagination. And this is it, to conform you to the image of his son, to make you like his son, make you like Jesus. That is your destiny and my destiny that we all have to embrace. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? That God loved Jesus so much, his son, that he wanted to make more people like him. So he made you and me and put us on this earth so that we can, through this process called life, become sons of God, brethren of Jesus, children of God. That is your destiny, and to be like the Lord Jesus. Before he did anything, now this is really important to understand. God loved Jesus before Jesus did anything. Look what it says in Matthew 3:17. This is the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is being baptized. And as he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on him. And the heavens open, and God says these words. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, God loved Jesus so much because of who he was and what he was like, because of his character. Because at that point in his life, Jesus had never done a miracle. He had never preached a sermon. He wasn't out doing healing the sick or raising the dead or nothing. He hadn't done anything. He just opened the heavens and looked at his son Jesus and said, I am well pleased with him because of what he's like. You see? And God wants you to understand your destiny, first of all, and before anything, is not to do something for God, but to be what God wants you to be like his son Jesus, to be conformed through a process, become more and more and more like Jesus. That is your number one destiny in life, given to you from our Heavenly Father. Praise God. A lot of times we want to know God's will in so many areas of our life. I mean, especially when you're young or at any time, we want to know, what does God want me to do in this area? What about this? What about my future? What about, you know, who am I going to marry? What should I work at? And so many decisions that life brings. How am I going to know what to do? What is God's will? Because ultimately, his will is what's best. That's where we're going to find our destiny. And God says, if you want to know my will in all these secondary things, you need to put the first things first. Because look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That is the will of God, that you become like Jesus, that you become more and more holy. That's what sanctification means. You become more and more and more holy, more like Jesus. That is His will, His first will, number one will. I promise you, brother and sister, if you let Him do this in your life, if you embrace this will of God, this destiny, this purpose, all the other stuff will start to flow. Everything will start to fall in place. He will start to show His will to you in all these other areas. But first, we have to embrace this purpose of God, to become like His Son, Jesus. And that's what He wants you to put first. You can't be led of the Spirit in all these other areas if you're not led of the Spirit first in this one area. You know, a lot of times you look like a weirdo. People will misunderstand you, because the main focus of your life is to be holy, to seek God, to get close to Him, to put Him first. And you just make sacrifice after sacrifice that seems unnecessary as the Spirit leads you to put things aside and to clean your life of everything that impedes the presence of God in your life. But you know what? You're going to fulfill your destiny. And that has an eternal reward in this life and in heaven and in eternity. Praise the holy name of God. Many of you, now think about this, many of you are called to be prophets. Some of you. Many of you are called to be teachers, evangelists, preachers, apostles, whatever God wants you to do. But you're never going to know it. Or you're, at least you're never going to fulfill it, even if you do know it. You're never going to fulfill it fully until we dedicate ourselves to this first, becoming like Jesus. Look what it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And this is the destiny for all of us. Maybe you might not be called to be a prophet, but this is your destiny, because we are in the end times. And look what the Bible says about these times. Joel chapter 2, 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Brothers and sisters, we are in those days. The days right before Jesus returns. And it says that in those days, the purpose for your life is for our sons and daughters to prophesy. Because the Spirit is going to come upon all flesh. Your old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. Are you seeing visions? Is God visiting you with dreams? Are you prophesying? Are you listening? Are you hearing God's voice? This is your destiny. But embrace your primary destiny. God sanctifying you, making you like His Son Jesus. Embrace it and say, "God, I want this above everything else." Pray it. Pray that prayer. "God, make me like Jesus, whatever it takes. God, do whatever it takes, but make me like Jesus. I want to be holy. I want to be close to You. Make me like Jesus." And then buckle your seatbelt and hang on for the ride, because He is going to do that work in your life. But you need to be committed. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So what does this destiny give us? If we actually start to follow this destiny and fulfill this destiny of becoming like Jesus, of reaching perfection, or at least striving for it, moving toward it, what does it give us? Well, it gives us several things. Number one, here's one. It gives you the ability to see God. Yes, look what it says in Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Praise God. A lot of times we read the Beatitudes and we think, well, you know, we don't really understand what we're reading. It's saying here that seeing God the Father is a privilege for those that have a pure heart. Even among His disciples, among those who will go to heaven, not everybody will see the Father. We will all see the Son. It says every eye will behold Him, but not everybody will see the Father. It says here, only the pure in heart. There's a lot of Christians that are saved and they're going to be in heaven, but their heart's not pure. I want my heart to be pure. Because when I get to heaven, I want to see God. If you don't believe me, look what it says in Hebrews 12:14. It says the same thing. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Jehovah, the Lord. You see, no one will see the Lord without holiness, a pure heart. So that's one thing you get if you fulfill your destiny, if you seek that destiny. Another thing you can be and obtain is to be a friend of God. You know, there's a song out there that says, I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. But you can't just say I'm a friend of God if you're not fulfilling your destiny. Let me tell you why. Look what it says in John 15:13-15. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, from now on, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. What an amazing God we serve, a God that wants to be our friend. But he invites you to become his friend by fulfilling your destiny if you do whatsoever he commands you. I can tell you right now, I'm not a friend of God. I disobey God almost every day in something. I disobey the leading of the Spirit in something almost every day. That disqualifies me, or I disqualify myself from being a friend of God. Because it says here, if you do whatsoever, meaning every single thing he tells you, you do it. You obey him. That qualifies you to be a friend of God. And it also says that those who are his friends are those whom he tells everything to. You see, he's not going to start letting you in on all his secrets, that intimate fellowship of a friend, until you start obeying him in everything he tells you. And that's something you can obtain if you become a friend of God by fulfilling your destiny, is seeking to be more and more obedient, more like Jesus. It says in Proverbs 22:11, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. If you love pureness of heart, if your lips are clean and pure, and you speak what's pure, the king will love you and be your friend. Praise God. Another thing we obtain by fulfilling our destiny is we can be loved of God. Now you may be asking yourself, I'm already loved of God, right? Doesn't God love everybody? Isn't God everybody's God? And, you know, God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, he loves everybody. It's called the common grace of God, the common love, the universal love of God for all of humanity. But there's a special love that you can receive from God if you fulfill your destiny and you seek that, to be like Jesus. Look what it says in John 14:21-23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas, one of the disciples, says unto him, not Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, it was another one. He said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you want for God to love you with a special love, see, it's one thing for God to visit you every once in a while. You go to church and you get a touch from God. You get a visitation. You're praying every once in a while and you feel his presence. But if you want God and Jesus Christ to live with you in a special way, abiding with you all the time, you have to fulfill your destiny. Seek that. Keep his commandments and love him. And then you will qualify for that. Because even though the Bible says in Acts 10:34, Peter said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteously is accepted with him. God is not partial. He doesn't have favorites. No, but the way we treat God, we qualify ourselves. We make ourselves worthy of certain relationships with God. Think about it. There's people in your life that you love. Lots of people. But the love you have for, you know, your spouse, maybe, is different than the love you have for your child. It's different from the love you have for your parent. It's different from the love you have for your brother or sister, which is different from the love you have for God. They're totally different types. If you obey God and you seek God and you fulfill your destiny, you qualify for a special type of love from the Father and a special privilege of Him abiding with you in a special way. Praise God. And one last thing that I'm going to mention that you can receive through fulfilling your destiny is this. You obtain all the blessings of Matthew chapter 5. Think about the Sermon on the Mount and all the Beatitudes. Now, you have to qualify for all these. Look what it says, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I think everybody, every Christian has that one, because you don't get in unless you have poor in spirit. But then all these actually build on each other, okay? That's the first step, but then you need to keep adding. Keep fulfilling your destiny. Keep seeking God. The second one says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You see, only the meek will inherit the earth. This is talking about the millennium. We're all going to be saved. We're all going to be with the Lord, but only the meek, the Christians who were meek, will inherit the earth. Think about that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A lot of us are never filled. We're hungry and thirsty spiritually, but God wants to fill us. But He can't fill you unless you qualify and becoming a person that's hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And then it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about it. A lot of times we pray, God, have mercy on me. And you can almost imagine God, you know, opening a book and say, okay, let's see. Let's open the book of mercy. Let's see how many times you've been merciful recently. A couple times here and there. Sorry, but you don't qualify for more mercy. You don't have more mercy on the books for you because you haven't given mercy. But as you seek to be like Jesus, merciful, you get more mercy. And then, of course, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is your destiny. This is my destiny. And God wants you to fulfill it and to fill your life with it. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel that Jesus preached. This is the gospel that Paul preached. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures. I'm not going to teach very much on each one. You'll understand what I'm trying to say. It's very clear that this is the gospel. Not only to be saved and become a Christian, become a good person, raise a good family, send all your kids off to college and everything's great. You know, not fight too much with your spouse and go to church. And that's not your destiny. Your destiny is much greater. And the gospel is much greater. Look what it says in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. We use these verses to base all of the lessons from the first course. But look what it says there. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. You see, the whole purpose of all those doctrines and stuff we taught in the first course, Paul was trying to get that out of the way and teach that and make them understand that so he can move on to what? Perfection. Ephesians 5:25 says, it's speaking about husband loving their wife, but he gives an example from Jesus, what Jesus is like. So let's just look at what Jesus is like in these verses. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. So look at the purpose, the goal, the destiny, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's your destiny. That's why he called you. That's why he saved you. Ephesians 1:4. Check this out. According as he, God, has chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world. What for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's your destiny. From before the foundation of the world, that was your destiny. To be so full of love of God. To be such a loving person by the love of God. To become love. And thus become holy and without blame in love. Ephesians 4:11-14 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is his goal, to make you like Jesus, to make you form just like Jesus, the fullness of him, a perfect man. That is why he gave prophets and evangelists and teachers, and why all this church thing is happening, so we can all become like Jesus. That's the whole goal. Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Once again, that's the goal that Paul had in his mind. I am praying and striving and teaching you and exhorting you so that you can become like Jesus. Colossians 1:28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom." What for? "That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Wow. Titus 2:14 says that Jesus gave himself for us. What for? "That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." A special people. The world might even call us a weird people because we're so zealous for good works. That is what God is doing. And then Hebrews 13:20 and 21 says, and this is Paul's prayer for them, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." That is his whole purpose and his desire, the desire of Paul, that God may make you perfect. Jesus taught the same thing. We're going to look at two scriptures of what Jesus taught. John 17:16 to 21 says, he's praying to his Father, and he tells his Father, "Father, they are not of the world," his disciples, "even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So this is what Jesus is praying. Sanctify them, sanctify them. And he says, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." You see, what Jesus is talking about here when he says that they may be one, he's not saying that we may all get along. That's obviously part of what he wants. He wants us to love one another and get along. But here he's talking about being holy. He's talking about sanctification. I wanted to be holy. I wanted to be holy, God. I made myself holy. I consecrated myself to you, Father, so that then now they can consecrate themselves to you, and then that they can affect the people that they will preach to, and that they can become holy. God, and my desire, God, is this, that they would be one. In what sense? And he says, "As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us," meaning that we may have fellowship with God, communion with God, relationship, intimate, close, personal relationship with God. That's what he means by that they may be one, one with the Father, one with Jesus, close to him, in relationship with him. That is God's prayer, Jesus' prayer for us. Finally, we know, we've read this verse before, Matthew 5:48. Jesus says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Praise God. That is the gospel that Paul and Jesus preached. They preached our destiny to be like Jesus in his kingdom. Praise God. And I want to conclude with this. I want us all to understand that God wants mature sons and daughters. He doesn't just want a bunch of little immature kids running around. Because, yes, we're all children of God, but the Bible in the New Testament makes a distinction between children, the sense that, you know, that we've been born or we have his DNA, we were biologically, per se, we came from him. And the Bible makes a difference between that and sons and daughters, mature sons and daughters. And it doesn't show up. You don't see it by reading the English Bible or Spanish Bible. Because in the Greek, there's two different words. One of them means children. The word is technon. It means a child, simply in the sense that it was produced. It came from you. It has your DNA. It has your genetics. It came from you. And then the other word is huios. Kind of sounds like hijos. Okay, it comes from that root. It's more specific to a son or daughter in the sense that it looks like their father. It denotes maturity. It brings with it the sense of being like the father. The connotation of the honor of being a son, of having the position of a son, it means a more mature person. For example, when a woman wants to have a baby, she doesn't just want to conceive in her womb. That's not the point. That's not the end of it. What she wants to do is conceive and then bear the baby 9 months and have a healthy growth in the womb. And then she wants to have a healthy delivery and for a healthy baby to come out. And then she wants to raise that baby so that it grows, it gets smarter, it develops, becomes a man, and becomes a fully grown, successful, fully realized man or woman. That's what a woman wants when she wants to have a baby. She doesn't just want to conceive. Yeah, I conceived. That's it. No. God wants more too. He doesn't want you just to be born of Him and be a child of God. He wants you to continue on, fulfill your destiny, become a mature son of God, mature daughter of God, that you look like Him. Let's look at a couple of verses. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." And the word there is technon, children. Just the fact I just had them. They have my genes. Okay? "Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So believers who put their faith in Jesus Christ, God saves you and makes you a child of God, a technon. But that's not God's goal. Look what it says in Galatians 4:19. And I read this earlier, but it relates to this perfectly. Paul says of the Galatians, who were all believers, yet they were going back and falling back into their old ways and to things that had to do with the flesh. And he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." So you see, they were His children, they were Christians, they were saved, but they had gone back to being like little babies. And He says, "You're like a baby in my womb. And I'm once again having to birth you again because I'm trying to get you to grow up and become like Jesus. Till Christ be formed in you, till you look like Jesus." And that's God's goal. Look what it says here. Ephesians 1:4. It says that God chose us before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. And that word is placing as a son. He wants to place you as a son. And the word is huiothesia, coming from huios, which means a mature son. That is His ultimate goal. His ultimate destiny was not to have a child that has His genes, but to have a mature son or daughter that looks like Him. To be placed as a mature son by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Praise God. And one last verse. Actually, I'm lying. It's two more scriptures. But this one is amazing. This one blew me away. Because I was teaching this to the youth in a Bible class. And we read this verse, Matthew 5:9, which says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Once again, in the English, it just says children. But in the Greek, it's not using technon, a simple child. It's using huios, a mature son that looks like his father. So it says here that those among us, Christians, we are all saved, but those who become peacemakers, who are peacemakers, they shall be called mature sons of God. And I was teaching this to the youth, and Brian spoke up, Brian Garcia, and he read to us his message of the Holy Spirit. When he received, God gave him this message, May 26, 2002. Listen to his message, and it's translated to English, so it might sound a little awkward. It was originally in Spanish. And the message says, "How the children of peace have pleased me." he is called a son of God forever. Not everyone will be called that. Do not be deceived. If you want to receive this privilege, seek peace and follow it. Do it quickly. Time is now short, and I want to call everyone the same. And who is God speaking to? He's speaking to the people of the church that are listening to this message. And he's telling us, not everybody has this privilege. Not all my children are sons, mature sons and daughters. And I want to be able to call everyone the same. And this is a privilege. And here's a shortcut. Become a person of peace, a peacemaker. And you who know Brian, he pretty much is a peacemaker. Praise God. Last scripture, Romans 8, 16 to 21. Listen to what it says about the mature sons of God. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Technon, simple child, okay? And if children, technon, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When Jesus returns, just like Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, you know, that veil that covered him was taken off, and they saw his glory, same thing is going to happen to us. We're going to receive a new body, and the glory of God that we have developed within us, the level to which we have become like Jesus, will shine. And glory will be seen. Not our glory, but the glory of Christ in us. Because we fulfilled our destiny and became more and more like him. And he says, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature. When it says creature here, it means creation. So the earnest expectation of the whole creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And here it switches from technon to huios, mature sons of God. All of creation is waiting for that time when Jesus returns and those who are mature in Christ, the mature sons, are revealed and manifested for what they are. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children, technon, children of God. You see, all of us as children of God, simple technon, have an inheritance, and we've all been liberated. But only the huios, the mature sons of God, are the ones that are going to be shining gloriously in the kingdom of their Father, because they have developed that Christ likeness. They have fulfilled their destiny. They have become like him. And when the veil is taken away, we're going to be manifested for what we are. Those of us who have become mature sons of God. We're going to have that glory forever and that relationship with God forever. That is something beautiful. And that is your destiny. That is what God wants for you. God is calling for you to have radical dedication. All the radical dedication we gave to the things of the world and to that the people of the world give to their things, that these Olympians give to winning medals, we need to have that and more for our destiny given to us by our God. To become like his son, we need to embrace that, die to ourselves, and live to God. Be no longer a friend of the world and an enemy of God, but be a friend of God. To love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. To become love so that we can be those who fulfill their destiny of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And heading toward perfection. Like Paul said, not that I have already reached it, but I leave those things that were behind, my past, I forget about it. Yesterday, I forget about it, and I strive forward to become what God has called me to be, like Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive my sins. Hear my prayer by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your destiny, your purposes, your thoughts toward us, which are more than we can number. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give us an expected end, which is to become like your son Jesus and to reign with him in your kingdom. We glorify and worship you for your mercy and your love. Please bless each brother and sister out there that wants to be like you. Put this desire in their heart. Make it a flame of fire burning in them to be like you, Christ. Help them to embrace the cross, carry it every day, and to follow you, Lord, and to love you above all things and hate all things in comparison to their love for you, and to seek you and to become more like you. Thank you, God. Encourage our brothers who are struggling. You're seeing them. You love them. You understand them. You want them to draw near to you. You long for their presence, their company, that time with them. Show them, Lord, your love for them and your purposes, and help them to fulfill their destiny. By the blood and the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God Almighty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord.